Everybody keep cool. Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool. It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Everybody keep cool.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
You ever find that tape, Rob?
Got it.
Venus. Rhymes with woman.
Nope. This is the guy. This is the guy from the commercial.
What you see is what you get.
Female.
Female. Uh-huh.
Trying to find her in a commercial said when we had the guy from the Motel 6 commercial say
Tom Baudet.
When we had him say what you see is what you get
with females for hire, I'm Tom Baudet and we'll leave the light on for you.
There was a time a while ago that we were really hooked on these cheesy commercials for these bad 70s porno movies.
Yeah. That guy, we actually hunted him down at his old age home and had him did an interview and he was horrible.
It was a huge waste of time.
What did you always say?
It was a long time ago. Well, I did the females for hire.
Well, you see is what you get.
With females for hire.
The naughty cheerleaders.
The naughty cheerleaders. It's all here. All of it. Everything left in and nothing left out.
At every high school, there's one girl every boy knows. Every male teacher looks at. And every man wants. He's the naughty cheerleader. Why don't you let her turn you on, too? The naughty cheerleader. A girl of every man's wildest dreams. Don't miss The Naughty Cheerleader, in color, rated R. No one under 17 admitted without parent, from Independent International.
You want to know how old it is?
In color.
30 years ago, at least.
We have a film that's in color, The Naughty, every man looks at.
All right, we're going to get to the nude wedding.
Yes.
I think the couple, the guy that called us earlier, looks like that's going to pan out. We will be interviewing him.
Good.
And also interviewing his bride-to-be.
That should be exciting.
You know what? We're coming up on our interview with Rebecca De Mornay. What are we going to say to Rebecca De Mornay besides the fact, how about this? I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Yeah, besides the fact that she's just gorgeous.
She's gorgeous. And we'll ask her if she's ever been in any production from Independent International.
Very close. Hand That Rocks the Cradle. There was a lot of topless Rebecca De Mornay in that movie.
Where she was the nutty babysitter?
Yeah.
What is she selling? Someone is usually selling something.
Oh, she's like in
some Hallmark Hall of Fame show or something like that.
Yeah, that's fine. As long as they live every, Hallmark Hall of Fame normally doesn't leave everything in with nothing left out.
Right. You know what I can ask her about?
I'm going to write this one down.
Well, risky business, of course.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask her if she thinks Tom Cruise is a homo.
That's interesting.
Okay, let me write that down.
She's worked with
Tom Cruise.
Homo.
Hand That Rocks the Cradle. She played a psycho in that.
Right, right.
Saw a lot of her there. Very attractive.
Mm-hmm. All right, good.
Anyway, that interview is taken care of. Now, I'll just ask her about
filmography. Tom Cruise being a homo.
If we during one of the breaks, because I'd like to, because I know a lot of movies she's done. I just don't know them by title.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know them. I know The Naughty Cheerleader.
Hold on. We finally found our tape with the guy from Motel 6.
Good.
This is Tom Baudet. What you see is what you get with females for hire.
Imagine if they used him. They wouldn't have made a dime.
No.
Not a dime. Not all of them.
Listen, let's do a cash call right now.
All right.
While we're waiting for Rebecca De Mornay, this would be a very brief interview. Frankly, I can't imagine this interview with Rebecca De Mornay going more than 90 seconds, but we'll see what happens.
You never know. You know what makes those interviews last?
What?
Attitude.
Okay. Cash call time right now. I don't even think we've given out the current cash toll, a call total on today's show, so this will be a real testament to your listenership.
Yes, be a testament to my listenership, too.
This entry, not computer-generated.
Not at all.
As you can see, it's one of the postcards that was sent to us, snail mail.
If you know,
hold on, our cash call jackpot.
That money is quite simply yours.
Michael, all of it.
Let's try to guess it on a piece of paper.
Back.
All right, Mike and Buzz have a side bet going now, but cash Buzz, what do you think it is?
This is what I think I remember.
I'm not looking at Buzz,
okay?
Buzz is right, Mike is wrong.
What was yours?
That is the current event. Don't get mad at
me. I'm
sorry, I throw. When I'm angry, I throw.
All right. Hello?
No one's home.
I'm sorry, I got it in the break. You know, you play it more than twice, and that's it. It's all.
The naughty cheerleader.
Oh, yes. The naughty winner. She's the gal that enters all the contests. She's playing with fire. And contestants for hire.
It says nothing on here about
a sign that this person listens to the show.
Mm. She'll be waiting for
Hello?
You.
Hello?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, now I hear something. Is this Janet Fitzpatrick?
Yes, it is.
Isn't that like some old...
Yeah, Janet Fitzpatrick and Patrick Fitzjanet.
Right. Janet, hello. This is the Don and Mike radio show.
Get out of here!
Get out.
No!
Get out of town. We're calling to ask, of course, if you know how much is in our cotton pick and crazy cash call jackpot.
Yeah, I do.
How much?
$164.
Whoa! $164
is correct. Yay!
Congratulations. You have just picked up $164. This is Janet Fitzpatrick from Essex Junction, Vermont.
Yeah.
And what station do you listen to our show on?
WEAV.
Beautiful.
Weave.
Well, you have just won $164 in cash.
Cool.
And thank you for listening. Now, here's Jeremy Coleman to tell you where the money is coming from.
Money for Don and Mike's cash call, courtesy of Advantage Title, 703-352-2840. Come for the service, pay you for the sushi. This is Jeremy Coleman speaking.
Oh, wow. Hey, somebody forgot to remind him he has to still maintain high energy during the new year. Is that an old one?
No, that's a new one. That's a new cut. He just did that one today for us.
Yeah, you got to get his mind right, Rob.
Listen, Janet, congratulations. Enjoy your money, and thank you for listening.
Beauty.
All right, all the way up in Vermont.
Oh, hold on a second. Well, that means we've got a brand new cash call amount.
Good, I'm going to write this one down and I'm going to memorize it.
Our next cash call is going to be worth $147.
Oh, boy.
Okay?
All right.
$147 the next time we make a cash call.
It's very clear. We're stuffing cash in your pockets everywhere, all over the Don and Mike listening area. There's more fun and more. I love that guy.
What you see is what you get.
The naughty contestant.
With females for hire.
Come on. Waiting for Don and Mike to call. She's standing by her refrigerator with ice cubes.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don.
Yes, I am. Hello there.
Hey, hello. Just wanted to first say I caught you all down at the Bayou before the last show there. Excellent show for the Las Vegas night. I was going to mention another movie but with Rebecca De Mornay that you may not know. It's called In God Made Woman. She plays the woman prisoner. Woman prisoner. And there was, we ended up getting it on with a prison guard and a bunch of other things.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Okay, thanks. Fantastic.
Bye-bye.
Hello there. Don and Mike show.
Hi, I was calling about the Rebecca De Mornay interview.
Yes.
When they were making Risky Business, she got hooked up with Tom Cruise. They went together for a while, and then he dumped her. She's going to say he's gay, whether he is or isn't.
How do you know that, though? She may not say he's gay.
Well, I understand this guy's saying because woman scorns. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, what she's saying is if Tom Cruise dumped her, well, of course, he must be a homo.
Oh, yeah, if you dump Rebecca De Mornay, you'd have to be a homo.
Have we rated her yet on our scale?
No, I don't think she's on
good. List.
Let's rate her.
I don't think she's ever been popular enough, I mean, in mainstream for us to rate.
Right.
Yeah, we'll rate her right now.
Let's do it.
I will give Rebecca De Mornay 6. Let's strike that. She doesn't do a lot for me. I'll give her a 5.9. 5.9.
I'm going to give her a 7.1.
Good.
I've always considered her one of the hottest women in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. I would do Anne Heche before I would do her.
I really would. Mm-hmm. You know, I would do Rebecca De Mornay in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. Baby.
Oh, there's just something about her. I mean, there really is. Mm-hmm. She's got that certain something that really turns me on and makes me want to come back for more fun and more thrills.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, best Rebecca De Mornay movie ever. I think Michael O'Keefe in The Slugger's Wife. She does a scene with him.
The Slugger's Wife.
That movie sucks so bad. That's where she's married to the guy that plays for the Atlanta Braves.
That's right, Michael O'Keefe.
So hot.
Yeah, she is super hot.
She makes just about anything almost appealing enough to watch for the entire time.
I agree with this caller that I've always thought that Rebecca De Mornay can be in a bad movie and make it palatable just to look at her.
Hey, did you ever see Feds?
Yeah, I saw that.
With the dyke from Saturday Night Live, right? What's that? The dykey woman from Saturday Night, Mary Gross.
Oh.
Mary Gross, you remember her?
I can't really forget it. It's kind of intertwined with the Rebecca De Mornay fantasy, but
Charlie,
good storyline too, Feds. I like the story.
Thanks to our audience, I'm now able to work it up for this interview. Get her on the line, please.
Let's go for it.
Get her on the line right now.
And I will try. I will really try desperately not to use the females for a higher voice during this interview.
As a matter of fact, I think to spice the interview up, we should use that voice.
Oh, we're curious.
Hello, Rebecca.
It's good to have you on the show.
with Females for Hire.
Yeah. I'm wondering if you're familiar with the body of work from Independent International. Females for Hire, Naughty Stewardesses.
Bedroom. Hold on. What was it?
Bedroom Stewardesses.
Bedroom Stewardesses.
The Naughty Cheerleader.
Naughty Cheerleader. In color. Rated R, under 17.
Not admitted without parents. From Independent International.
It's the Big Triple Stewardess Show. Bedroom Stewardesses plus Blazing Stewardesses and Naughty Stewardesses. All three together for the first time in one super show. They're flying high from one city to another and one man to another. They're the girls who've got the class and that sexy wink in their eyes that says hello in a special way. The girls who invite you out for a drink, and they've got a wilder imagination than you do.
Such a bad read.
And let these girls make all the plans.
All the plans.
You'll just love it. You've never seen so many pretty girls all at one time before. And each one is
pretty girls.
Pretty girls.
One time.
Don't miss Bedroom Stewardesses plus Blazing Stewardesses and Naughty Stewardesses. Meet together for the first time. In color, rated R for adults. No one under 17 admitted without parents. From Independence International.
All right, so we'll do the interview on those voices.
Very nice. Rebecca, what you see is what you get with Females for Hire.
Tell me something.
Tom Cruise. Does he like the baloney pony?
Here she is now.
All right.
Joining us via satellite,
Rebecca DeMornay.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, we're fine. I'm Don.
And I'm Mike. How are you today?
I'm very good.
What you see is what you get with Rebecca DeMornay. We are very excited to have her on the show, and we'll be talking in these wonderful voices to do this interview. What is the project that you're going to be hyping for us today, Rebecca?
Is this how you really talk?
No, certainly not. No, but we were playing a tape of a guy that did these commercials, and we thought he sounded sexy.
All right, listen, we'll talk in our real voices for you.
All right, we won't.
That was kind of like from the old movies, right?
From an old porno movie.
It was porno movies. That's what you were watching?
What you see is what you get.
Well, they really weren't porno movies. They were like in the 1960s or even the early
60s. I guess Washington, D.C., I guess you guys sort of be expecting that.
Honey, somebody asked this. Would somebody please tell one time when we book a guest that we're on in more cities than just Washington, D.C.?
We get big celebrities on our show, and they don't know that we're on 62 cities across the country.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
What other cities, for example?
Okay, Denver, Tampa Bay, Baltimore, Vegas, Albuquerque, Reno.
Okay, that's enough. Great.
Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right,
see, we're major.
Right,
we're major stars, Rebecca.
Major effing stars.
Here is the guy that we were imitating here from the ads from the porno movies.
Okay. What you see is what you get with Female for Hire.
See, we were just wasting time waiting for you to get ready to do the interview, listening to those tapes. So let me ask you a question right now, Rebecca DeMornay.
Let me ask you something. Are we on the air or not?
Yes, of course.
We are.
But you see, we create such a natural. We're so natural that we create the illusion that we're just having a casual, conversation.
But anything I say can and will be held against me.
Yes, of course. Let me ask you right now, Tom Cruise, is he a homo? That is the opening question for Rebecca DeMornay.
I will tell you, in my experience, no, he is not. With him 16 years ago called Risky Business.
Yes.
Oh,
Did you have juicy relations with him?
What?
Did you have juicy relations with him?
Juicy? I don't know. I don't know what you would qualify as juicy, but we lived together for 2.5 years.
Oh, so they did have juicy relations.
Ah, wonderful. And your experiences with Mr. Cruz, positive, negative?
Absolutely positive.
Positive, all right. Scientology, tell me, is it a form of mind control?
You know what? I don't have anything to do with Scientology.
But he does now, right?
Yes, he does. Are we talking about him, or are we talking about Night Ride Home? Night Ride Home. Here we go.
That sounds like a horror movie.
No, Mike, it's a Hallmark holocaust.
Night Ride Home. I think they've misnamed it, though. It should be a horror movie with that. Night Ride Home.
It's not a horror movie. It's a very moving, extremely emotional piece that is going to be on CBS.
Yeah.
Hallmark Hall of Fame movie about a family that is unraveling in shock and grief over the death of one of their children.
Do you wear any hot outfits in this movie?
No, I do not.
No,
I'm
this would
the
be...
mother of two teenage kids, and I'm anything but hot in this movie.
Oh, no. And now, listen, I have to... I'm going to slip out of...
to watch the movie, though.
I am going to slip out of our voices for a second, but then get right back into it by saying, I don't think you could do any film without being hot. You are... You just can't help that, because I think, really, and I mean this from my ticker, you are one of the few truly, naturally beautiful women in Hollywood.
Well, you know, watch this movie and see if you still think so. I look really overwrought.
Do you try to look bad? I mean, do you have to get up in the morning and try to look as bad as you can to do this role?
I had prosthetics to look bad in this movie.
Oh,
I looked horrendous.
Really?
No, just kidding. It's not a glamorous role, let me put it this way.
I bet you look good even when you look bad.
Oh, well.
What you see is what you get with Rebecca De Mornay.
Oh, absolutely.
In the Hallmark Hall of Fame presentation with Keith Carradine. Is that the Kung Fu Man?
No, that would be David Carradine.
David Carradine.
Keith Carradine, isn't he married to somebody famous?
And Ellen,
he's in love with a woman,
And Ellen Burstyn, wasn't she in the Jack Nicholson movie where he was crazy?
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Wasn't she Nurse Ratched? Was that Ellen Burstyn?
No, it was Louise Fletcher.
Oh, the Louise Fletcher, you're right.
Damn, you're right.
Wrong. You just gotta, how do you even get out of bed in the morning?
I don't know.
We prepare for our interviews.
Well, I'll tell you this. You've got a good time slot.
Okay.
On Sunday nights at 9 o'clock on the CBS on the Tiffany Network.
Yeah?
Yeah, and we're CBS guys, too, you know. We respect
you know
CBS.
You.
Of course we do.
Okay, good.
Can I ask, where are you right now? What city are you in?
Well, I'm actually at home in my office in Los Angeles.
Oh, did we use caller ID so we could have her number?
Through the New York office of CBS,
so
it'd be kind of hard for it to get my number.
Could I be so bold as to ask what you were wearing right now?
I'm wearing black pants, black boots,
yes.
A black turtleneck sweater.
Yeah.
That's what I usually wear.
Do you find yourself wearing black most of the day?
Yeah, I'm in mourning for my life.
It's mourning for your life. You're in mourning doing this interview right now, I'm sure.
And that's actually, I think that was a line of a Chekhov play. I swear to God, I think it's the first line of a Seagull or something.
No, see,
you guys wouldn't know about that.
No, we're not. We're morons. We're umdums.
This would be seriously. This would be the first interview that you've done with a couple of umdums. Are you familiar with the term umdum?
That is a term that my father coined for my brother and myself when we were growing up. He would call us umdums.
Umdums or damn dummies.
Because my parents were very verbally abusive to me when I was growing up.
So we have found that we enjoy calling some of our listeners umdums, and of course we refer to each other as umdums also.
That's funny.
Thank you.
Very funny.
And you are in Knight Ryan Hall.
Knight Ryan Hall.
Hall of Fame presentation.
On CBS, and we have slipped again into this terrible accent which we cannot control.
What is that accident?
I don't know. It's not accident, it's accent. Yes.
Oh, accent.
Yes.
Let me ask you, we were talking about Anne Hayes earlier.
Yeah. Okay.
In the relationship with Ellen and Anne, who's the husband and who's the wife, do you think? I mean that seriously.
I have no idea. Do you think they even think of themselves that way?
I think that Ellen is the husband and Anne is the wife. I'll be honest with you.
Why? Because Ellen wears more pants? What do you think?
You have crystallized it, yes. Because
I don't know. That might just be a cliche. I don't know them personally, but so that might be a cliche.
Do you think that because she's wearing pants that she's trying to hide the fact that she is indeed the wife in that relationship?
That's very possible.
How many other leading men have you had affairs with who you've worked with?
You know what? He's the only one.
He's the only one.
Yeah.
Who are you? Are you currently married?
I'm currently very much in love and living with someone who is the father of my 14-month-old daughter.
Is he in the industry?
He's an actor, yes.
And how long has that relationship been going on?
You know, almost 4 years.
4 years. Ladies and gentlemen, a round of applause for Rebecca De Mornay's relationship.
Hanging in there for 4 years.
We love those 4-year relationships. We truly do. And you're being very tolerant and patient with these voices that we're using during this interview.
I'm really just dumbfounded. I had no idea.
I see it as a sign of your desperation to publicize your upcoming Hallmark Hall of Fame.
I had no idea. I'm trying to be as polite and funny as I possibly can.
And you are. You're very nice. You're wonderful. You're marvelous. You're wonderful.
Get me together with these umdums.
Yeah, with these umdums.
Now you're okay, Rebecca De Mornay.
Could you do me one favor?
Before? Yeah.
Because our time, of course, is like everything that's good, it's fleeting. I would like to tell you, could you just say, this is Rebecca De Mornay and Don and Mike are umdums?
Absolutely. Great pleasure.
Thank
Please
you.
Say that now, darling.
This is Rebecca De Mornay, and I would just like to say that Don and Mike are umdum.
That was beautiful.
Bravo.
We will continue to plug a Hallmark Hall of Fame Night Ride Home. That's Sunday, CBS, 9 p.m. You are very lovely, very wonderful, and I am a very big fan, Rebecca De Mornay.
I appreciate that. Take care, you guys.
Thank you. Goodbye, Rebecca De Mornay.
Okay, goodbye.
Wonderful. And that exhale would tell you that she did believe she was speaking to Umdum.
She was frightened.
Yes, she was. But I like the trend now of all celebrities to call us Umdums.
Instead of saying they don't listen to the show.
It's a new frontier.
That was good. That made an awkward interview fly by.
Absolutely, because you know when we start talking like this.
We can't stop.
It's a disease.
What you see is what you get with females for hire.
Rebecca De Mornay.
A lovely lady, a talented actress, and very forthright about her relationship with Tom Cruise. Another star.
Is he still there? Hello?
Hello. She's taking her black pants and her black turtleneck, and she's gone away with her lover of 4 years.
All right, that was our fantastic interview. Log that for best of with Rebecca De Mornay. We'll be right back.
He's the Don and Mike show.
Crazy. Easy. You know,
I always love this when we've got a late night before and then you've got great news.
This is really going to piss you off more than anybody else is going to piss you off.
Oh, boy, now I'm really excited. This is the what?
Did you talk to him, Lewis?
Yeah, I sure did.
Now, did he, hold on, don't blow it. Did he say you could talk about it?
I didn't ask him, to be honest with you, if I could mention it on your air.
What is the deal? Oh, God.
You know what you better do? Let me do a break. Call Jeremy up. Ask him if you can talk about it.
Then call back.
All right. I will.
And then you're going to reveal this deep, dark secret to the world?
It's not a deep, dark secret. Actually, it's a very exciting thing, very enticing thing that's happening here.
I endorse that. When Don looks at me, he's going to piss me off. I'm really
I endorse
about.
It, if for no other reason, that I know it's going to bring Mike immense displeasure.
Why do you think it would, though?
Because Mike hates you more than anybody does.
No, he does not.
Yes, he does. He roots for your failure.
He does. Well, on the air, but I know it's not the case. I mean, he can put up whatever front he wants, and people can see right through it.
All right, hold on. I'll just call Jeremy myself.
Hold on here.
Hold on.
Oh, God.
You'd be very upset.
I always say when you get that really joyful look on your face.
Very upset.
Oh, no. Hello?
Good afternoon, I'm Senator Broadcasting WGFK.
Hello, Colette, it's Don and Mike. Can you put us through to Jeremy, please?
Sure, hold on.
Calling the gerbil's office.
He's probably under his desk right now. Called up.
Hello.
You know, doing the tuck and roll. Hey, Jeremy?
Yeah.
I have the idiot on the phone. Lewis.
Lewis.
Can he talk about what you're talking about with him?
Yeah, sure. I think our conversation went very well.
Huh. All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
What's going on?
Okay.
All right, Lewis.
Hi there.
Give everybody the big news, please.
And let me just say, not only for Mike, but for all you Lewis haters out there, what is going on?
Brace yourself. What is it?
I've been offered my own show. Can you believe that?
Oh, BS.
That's what I said. Hey, it's April Fool's Day. I was hit to the whole thing right up front. And a real funny joke, guys. Thanks a lot. Uh-huh. Laugh on me, I guess.
What?
Is that a joke?
What is going on? Could someone please tell me what's going on?
Listen, retard, you want to blow it, you blow it.
I'm not blowing it. I'm just, not completely spilling the beans. I really have, apparently, been offered my own show, and it's up to me to decide if I'm going to do it and then which way it's going to go. It's going to be the first official Don and Mike spinoff.
It's true. It's true.
You know, Pharrell quit.
Pharrell quit.
I know, I read that memo book. Right.
800 Lutard. Right. I don't know what to do. I'm really going to have to get some advice sessions going with you guys now.
Full time? I don't know if it's full time or if it's a trial.
Uh-huh. What did Jeremy say? Because obviously you had something to do with it.
Jeremy just asked me what I would think about it. I said, what the hell? You know, I've always been kind of fond of Lewis, gave him a break in the business.
It really worked.
I think Pharrell was... You know, I'm no big fan of Pharrell.
No.
How goofy is that? Yeah, congratulations, Lewis.
Thank you.
So now, what did Jeremy say to you exactly?
He said that he really likes all the stuff that I've done on the show, and it made him laugh, and apparently that I'm a big deal on your show. And I said, am I really? And he said, yeah.
Oh, he's a very good judge of talent.
And he said that, you know, the show responds very well. And really, he explained the deal with Pharrell and explained that the Sports Junkies would become very successful. I'd started off basically with the same proposition that I've been given, and it's going to be up to me to come up with ideas and what the show's going to be. And
I feel queasy right now.
It's going to be Monday through Friday after their show. That could be 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours with anything that I want to do.
I feel sick to my stomach.
But I do, too.
How great is that?
It is freaking
your
great.
Father, your adopted father is really psyched, I'll tell
How
you that.
How great is that?
It's so awesome, and I'm not really sure. You know, I got to get my head together and really come about this.
Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to come in and audition or just start or what?
I think just start.
When? Did he give you a start date?
No, but it's got to be quick, apparently. After I got to call him tomorrow with some definitive answers and some questions that I probably won't have for him.
Little did I know when I read the memo about Pharrell. Oh, my God, that this would happen this quick.
Even if it's only like a 30-day thing. Imagine getting in your car every night and hearing Lewis.
Oh, God.
Yeah, imagine that.
Your adopted father is very happy.
Thanks.
Don't muck it up.
No, listen, I'm gonna really consider this with adult intellect.
All right, well, don't muck it up.
I don't think I got.
All right.
I don't want to, that's for sure.
Okay. Way to go, Lewis.
All right, see you later.
Hold on. I'm going to have some questions for you.
What?
I don't have them specifically.
Hey, this is good. This will mean that he'll probably be able to call you in the office every day now to ask about critiquing himself.
My part in this is done.
No, I would have questions about, what do you think of the show, but like more putting one together.
Because
I have very little experience in also being offered a major market radio show.
You're on your own.
Great.
Take it up with the gerbil.
All right,
good luck.
Now, Jeremy's good at molding ugly pieces of clay in the shows.
All right, goodbye, Lewis.
Goodbye. I love you. You know that, right?
All right, I hate you. Goodbye.
Bye.
There he goes. You a star in the CBS empire.
I know that makes you very happy.
My God.
I know that makes you very, very happy.
Okay.
Happy day.
That's the news.
Look at him. He's beaming. He's very happy.
The station will do anything. I swear to God, the station, the way they put car dealers on.
I thought it was a weekend thing.
No. Well, Pharrell quit. They didn't have a show.
I read that memo, but little did I think that Jeremy. Good old Jeremy. I'm glad that he came to you for the advice.
Well, they just asked. I said, what do you think? And it's not like I didn't offer that up. I don't want my name attached to that in that way.
Right.
I said, what do you think?
Yeah!
Yeah!
Where you got the list.
Woo!
All right. Okay. All right.
Let's do a break.
Terrific.
And then we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Guamo and Michael Miller.
April Fool's Day, one day later, okay?
Yeah.
I told you yesterday what my wife did to me, the trick with my kid's report card.
Right.
And then she did the same thing to him yesterday when she was in carpool and really flipped him out.
Uh-huh. Did she get the response that she wanted?
Yeah, he was totally upset by it.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give him credit. Today, when he went to school, he set this up on his own. He had the principal call our house. Now, I knew about this.
Right.
So I purposely didn't answer the telephone. My wife picks up and says, hello. And I'm sitting in the kitchen watching her on the telephone. And I know he's saying, this is Principal Skinner. I'm calling from the school.
Right.
And I see her face just go ashen.
Uh-huh.
Totally ashen as she's hearing the news on the phone. And she hangs up the phone. And I say, who was that? And she said, that's the principal from Bart's school. Do you realize he's flunking out? And I said, oh, my God, I don't believe that. She said, yeah, they're mailing the report cards out, and he's flunking out. And I smiled just a little bit. And she was so flipped out, she didn't catch what was going on. She said,
right.
What are you laughing about? I said, no, I'm not laughing. I'm just thinking about something else. And then right on cue, phone rings. Ring. It's Bart. Hey, Mom. April Fool's.
Oh,
that's a pretty hit principal that did that.
That's very cool.
Fantastic.
Very nice.
Excellent. Smart principal, too, to get one parent's approval on that before they did that.
Very nice.
Might backfire otherwise.
Right.
Hats off to Barty. He got a good with that. And she was pissed. And I said, well, how does it feel to have the shoe on the other foot? Yesterday, you were doing your little Rocky Balboa dance around the house.
Nobody likes an April Fool's joke as much as she does.
Right.
Or as much as we do.
Payback. Which brings us to our next topic.
Ah, yes.
Yesterday on this show, many of you smart guys out there called up immediately when you were positive that I was playing a big April Fool's joke on Mike with this thing with Lewis getting a gig at the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
All you smart guys said, well, we'll wait till the end of the show. We're positive you're going to say April Fool's Day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you know what happened?
What?
End of the show came.
Right.
You never said April Fool's Day. Never said word one.
True, right. I was praying for it, but it never happened.
Never did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I want to tell you something. As soon as line 444 goes on hold.
Yes. There it is. It's on hold.
444 is on hold. Hello, Lewis.
Hi. What's happening, Don?
Hey, buddy.
Mike.
Hi there, Lewis.
Lodge.
Hey.
All right.
Lewis. Lewis.
You got to forgive me for that.
Forgive you for what?
I don't know. I just...
What did you do? What did you do?
Until last. Maybe he didn't feel as welcome as everyone else.
What did you do, Lewis?
When?
What did you just say? Oh, great communicators that you are.
Yes, yes.
Well, now yesterday...
I'm reeling from the not joke that happened.
Yesterday during the show...
Mm-hmm.
We told you that Lewis was approached by the station about doing a show. Everybody called and said, oh, it must be me pulling a joke on Mike O'Mara.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope everybody out there is ready to eat some crow.
That's right.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because here it is, the day after April Fool's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Right.
And guess what?
What?
It wasn't a joke on Mike.
It's a joke on me.
Of course it was a joke on you, Lewis. April Fool's Day! No, you didn't know it, and I have the tapes to prove it. You didn't know it, and as a matter of fact, you even called Christine last night and asked her to be a guest on your new radio show. I knew it all along. Mike knew it all along. Mike did a superb job of playing along yesterday.
Thank you very much.
I got to give you an Academy Award for
that,
Mike.
Thank you so much.
Good. Very nice.
Nice to be on the other side of the fence once in a while. Not to be the victim. Lewis was the victim in this particular case.
You know what? I thought about letting the cat out of the bag yesterday. Mm-hmm. But that's too predictable.
Yeah, too predictable. You had to wait the 24 hours just to give it a little added bada-bing. This was better.
Yeah. Because remember, the joke is not on... You, the fine folks listening to the show,
right.
The joke is not on Mike.
Right.
The joke is on Lewis Coleman.
And we'd like to thank Jeremy Coleman, our program director, for assisting us in this.
Very good.
Yeah. Did a fine job.
Mm-hmm. So, Lewis, of course, no, there's no job here for you. Lewis? Lewis?
Yeah.
Hello, Lewis. Happy April Fool's Day, Lewis.
I just take it very seriously when someone toys with my dream.
Oh, way to be a sour sport. Okay, now we got that tape racked up, Rob? All right, here is the first call yesterday.
Okay.
When I talked to Lewis before the show to tell him that there was a chance that he might get a job at the station.
That's right.
Okay, here you go. Hello?
Hi, Don. It's Craig.
Hey, you retard. What are you doing?
Nothing. I'm actually being sent home from work today.
Why?
I took somebody off on the phone.
All right. Well, this might be your lucky day.
What's up?
Jeremy wants to talk to you.
About what?
About maybe a chance for you to do something here. But, you know, I'm concerned because if I put my... You put my name on the line for you. I have no assurances. I don't feel good that you know what I'm saying? I don't know if I can vouch for you.
Well, you have to explain further to let me know how serious of it is, the situation we're talking about.
Well, I think it's serious, man. I mean, it's not bad serious. I think it's good serious.
Well, spill the beans.
Well, I can't.
Please.
Jeremy needs to talk to you. Just tell me something. If I vouch for you, don't fuck it up. Okay. Yeah, I even threw in some profanity
right.
So he would think that it was really on the level.
Very good.
A nice touch. And what did he say about his dream? What he just hung up on it?
Take it so somebody screws with my dream.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Something like that.
Eat me, Lewis.
He'll call back.
Please.
Don't scare me into...
I'm not scaring you. It's something good, man.
I definitely don't want to fuck it up then.
Okay. All right.
But don't eat into touch.
I won't. I'll go get Jeremy right now. I gotta start the show. Just promise me that don't be your usual self with him, okay?
Oh, I never am. We have very good rapport.
All right.
I mean, no kidding.
You know, there might be an opportunity for you to do something here.
Like permanent?
I don't know. Talk to him, okay?
I would love to.
All right. Hold on. Lewis?
Hi.
Okay, that's... That's part one.
Excellent.
Oh, this is funnier than the tapes after this.
Nicely laid out.
See, we had to leave it for a day.
Yeah, you had to go a day because it wouldn't have worked as well.
Mm-hmm. Because the overnight, you know, I'm positive that Lewis was waiting until 7 o'clock last night for us to call him up and say, you know, April Fools.
Right. So you had to go just a little extra mile with it.
And then today, conveniently, the offices here at the station closed early for Good Friday, everybody.
Sure.
So he's been trying to call Jeremy, like, all day long. But conveniently, you know, the front desk is closed.
Offices are closed, Lewis. Lewis, our friendship, I told you.
So here's his call with Jeremy.
This is the one I've been looking forward to hearing.
And at a couple of points during this call, this was yesterday, before the show, Lewis says, I think this is an April Fool's joke, but by the end of this call, I think you will see that he believes that this was on the up and up.
Okay. Here?
Hi, Jeremy. How you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good today, actually, but just realized something.
What was that?
Today's April Fool's Day. Did you know that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
All right, so here's the deal. Here's why I'm calling you.
What?
As you may know, Pharrell is no longer going to be with the radio station.
Oh, what happened to old Pharrell? He's a syndicated guy.
He has taken a job doing play-by-play for a brand-new hockey team.
And see, let me break in again and tell you that all that is true.
Yeah, that is true.
And this guy, Scott Pharrell, is the guy that has a show on Westwood One, and he quit his show this week, meaning that our station has a slot open now starting at 11 o'clock at night.
That's correct. All true.
See, all that's true.
That is legit. Solid.
He's going to be in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And he and Westwood talked about it, and I guess they decided that he couldn't do both things. He can do both his show and be big-time hockey play-by-play star. So he ended. In fact, if you heard the show last night, there's a substitute host on, and in 30 days, that show is going to go away. So I'm now looking to see what to do in that space. And
Indeed,
Westwood is trying to convince me that they're going to come up with some new network show, but I'm not entirely hot on that because Pharrell never really got us any numbers, and I'd much rather do something like create the next Sports Junkies or something else that works well here but actually gets ratings.
Does it have to be sports?
No. In fact, I'd rather it wasn't sports because we're doing the Junkies right before it. So, but really, I mean, this station is all about entertainment. I need something in there that can get ratings by being a good, entertaining show that people like to listen to.
Jeremy did a good job on this.
Jeremy's had a lot of experience lying to people.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell how easy the stuff is. Right?
It's just like washing his hands.
It's funny and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, the question is...
I'm listening to you.
I'm looking at the list of various things that I got going on here, and there is something to be said for, and I say this nervously, but there's something to be said for spinning off part of, say, the Don and Mike show.
The Don and Mike spinoff show.
Exactly.
Okay.
And since you are the biggest thing that's been on there lately, and
what?
Seems to me.
Well, that's scary.
And Don has been pleased with the stuff that you've done, and
right now, Lewis has got the hook in his mouth. Right now, yeah, Lewis, you're the biggest thing on this show. Yeah, a spinoff.
Oh, my.
Oh, God. It's so much better waiting a day.
It is a day.
And I thought about waiting until Monday. But that might have been too cruel.
Yeah. I know all the Lewis fans are enjoying this.
Oh, yeah.
I find it funny. Then the question is, can this be a Lewis show?
You want a Lewis show?
Exactly.
After the Sports Junkies.
Exactly. Are you interested?
Yes, because this would be a major market show. That's my own show.
Yeah.
I know. Very soon.
Right. Do what?
Relatively soon, this would take place.
Yeah, we'd have to move pretty quickly. I mean, we can't move. Your next step, should you choose to accept it, would be basically to give me your ideas of what the show would actually be.
Okay, well, that would me thinking about.
Yeah, exactly.
How long of a show would it be?
It would have to be at least 2 hours. Pharrell was 3 hours. He was 10 to 1. It would have to be at least 2 hours in order to have any sort of cut-throughness at all. I could entertain it being up to 4 hours. I could put you on from 10 until 2 a.m.
So you would actually consider up to 4 hours. Now, I got to tell you, Mr. Coleman, Jeremy, if this turns out to be a cool April Fool's joke, I'm really going to hurt myself. It's a fire.
Well, it's entirely up to you, but no, this is not a cruel April Fool's joke.
Yeah, another smart statement, Lewis.
This is the same kind of phone call that I made to the Sports Junkies or some of the other people that we gave a shot to. And quite frankly, I'm not entirely sure you can do it. There's a
delegate. Tell them that, too?
What?
Did you tell them that, too?
Who, Don and Mike?
No, Sports Junkies.
Yeah, absolutely. The onus is on you. It comes down to the ratings. If you can get the ratings, you're my hero and you last forever. And if you can't get the ratings, you move on to something else. So there's a risk involved in doing this.
That's for a person like myself.
You would have to really...
He's such, got such attitude. He's talking at the same time, Jeremy. He's talking the whole night.
This dude called it.
Really, I'm going to say Coleman, not Jeremy.
The Lewis Show.
I'll set myself on fire.
Yeah, right, the Lewis Show. I think you can pull this off.
Hold on, back it up a little bit, Robbie. Hold on, we missed something there. Thank you.
And if you can't get the ratings, we move on to something else. So there's a risk involved in doing this.
That's for a person like myself.
You would have to really believe that you could pull this off.
Out of mic.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
My first real deal. And this would be really the second major thing. And it would take some consideration and really some thinking about so I would succeed.
Well, you'll have to think fast. Because, obviously, Pharrell has gone away now. We've got some guest host on for the next, like I said, the next 30 days. So, you got to do this now, or else I'm going to move on to the next people on my list. So, as far as I'm concerned, the gig is yours, but you got to move fast.
Do I have the weekend to think about it?
The week? Listen
to it.
The weekend? What day is it today? It's Thursday, right? Call me tomorrow.
With a definitive answer?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I call you tomorrow with further questions?
Yeah, sure.
Jeremy, this is big deal to me.
Right, but can I trust that? Can I trust that you'll do this?
Make a decision, or that I will make the decision? Yes.
Yeah, that you'll make the decision. Yes.
I would say that would probably be the case.
Okay.
I'm just gonna have to go home and stir some creative juice and think of what's going on.
Dave cracks me up.
Classic. Hopefully you Lewis haters are listening today.
Oh, my God.
All you people call and tell me I'm a dumbass for keeping them on this show. I hope all you people are listening to this right now.
Especially being as inexperienced as I am.
Okay.
Taking it into consideration?
Were you what?
Or my inexperience.
I love that.
It's
a question.
Believe me, it already has. There's a big risk for us to put someone in who's actually never really done it. But believe it or not, you have more radio experience going into this than the Sports Junkies did going into their gig.
He's a good liar, man.
Yeah, because they've never done radio before.
He has 3 or 4 people to have me.
That is true.
I don't want to be a grease man.
That is true.
That wasn't.
He's not too full of himself.
Well, this is better than Shirley Hempel coming in last year. I swear to God it is.
I'm with you there, bud, but...
Some of the ideas I have include bringing in people that I know to interview and do stuff with.
I think you're familiar enough with the station to know the kind of freedom that we give the people who have the radio shows. Answer me this, Lewis. Can you do it?
Huh?
Can you do it? Do you believe if I gave you this shift, you can do it?
Really, this is my dream.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Great joke.
I don't want it to be a full joke.
I would never do that. So I got a multi-million radio station, dollar radio station here to program. I'm not going to be screwing around with this kind of stuff.
Oh, Jeremy, he's good.
Boy, that is really something. It's going to take a couple hours to absorb. Please understand that, Jeremy.
Okay, well, call me today. Call me back if you have any other questions.
Got it.
But I need to move quickly.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
You're my next star. All righty.
Coleman.
I'll see you later.
Bye.
Jeremy Coleman, ladies and gentlemen. Jeremy Coleman is the new star.
Oh, my God. I had no idea that he did that good a job.
Oh, my God.
And I need someone just to be with, to talk with. I love Jeremy.
You're my next star.
Oh, my God.
You went all the way.
I don't want to be the next grease man.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God. God damn it. That's great.
Perfect.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Are some of you like to get $1 more than last year?
Yes.
Well, I got good news for you.
What? Roll it.
Last year was 57.50.055. We have got 58.71.225. How's that? That's more than a dollar. All right. me over here if you need it.
The mysticism. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike Show. April Fool's, everybody. Not the April Fool's.
I thought for sure that was what's going to happen yesterday, but I just want to say you guys are bastards are doing it, but it's funnier now.
Yeah, come on. You got to come up with a different April Fool's gag every year.
Do you got somebody else lined up? Because I bet he's going to call again.
Do I what?
Do you got somebody else lined up to do what he did? Because I bet he's going to call again.
Oh, he's going to call again.
Oh, come on, please.
Yeah, he'll get over it.
Please, frankly, if he doesn't call, it'll be no skin up our noses, but you know, I'm sure he will.
And, you know, his suspicions, you got to remember, he was aware in the way, in the dark recesses of his mind.
Yeah.
He was aware that something like this might happen.
Hey, April Fool's Day, man.
April Fool's
Day. And a guy with no experience is going to be offered a job at one of the top radio stations in America. Please, you're my next star.
Jeremy. I had no idea Jeremy sold it the way he did.
Cool. Jeremy's a sneaky little bastard,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. I didn't know Jeremy had that in him.
Exactly. I couldn't have done it that good myself.
No way. Jeremy was very credible.
I was stumbling through my little preamble there.
Well, as you say, Jeremy, with lots of practice. You know, lots of practice talking to us.
Yes. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Don and Mike?
Yeah, Bodding.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey,
Bud. Hey, Rob.
Hey.
Hey. How's it going? Hey, I just wanted to say this has got to be the coolest thing that anyone's probably done, but just the fact you did it to Lewis makes it great.
Yeah, see, that's, you know, as far as the cruelty factor, you have to bring the Lewis factor in.
Yeah, definitely.
And that balances, that evens everything out. That makes it an innocent, practical joke.
Yeah, and, you know, keep in mind, unless he does something rash, like tells us to F off or something, you know, he can keep his position here on the show.
Of course he can.
As the water boy.
This gag was custom made for Lewis.
That's right.
He tends to get a little full of himself,
and so this fit perfectly.
Yeah, there's not a lot of people that naked cruelty would work with. Right?
There's also not a lot of people that would have fallen for that hook,
that's
line,
right,
and sinker on April Fool's Day.
That's right. That's the Lewis factor. It's the Lewis factor that balances everything out.
You're my next star.
Oh, my God. What a song, John.
Hello. Jeremy Coleman is the man.
Yeah.
I hate to give him his props, but he did a great
job.
I'm like, raise the roof, Jeremy Coleman.
Yes, he did. He did a great job.
Yes, only respect for that guy.
Yeah, you know what? Me too.
He's my hero.
You're my next star. Careful.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Yeah, let's not go crazy.
Yeah, really.
I mean, you did a good job on the joke and everything.
Mm-hmm. Don, Mike.
Hey, buddy.
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 Buddy, buddy, buddy.
Hey.
Don, bend over. I want to kiss your ass.
Good one.
Was a good one. That's why yesterday when everybody was calling right away and said, oh, this has to be an April Fool's joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how stupid do you folks think I am? You thought that was just a joke I would play on Mike?
Yeah, that's what I didn't understand either, you know. Right. But, you know, those calls helped.
So yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because I was selling it at that point.
Great job.
Sure did. You know, Don conceived it. Jeremy just delivered it. And
you're a big part of it.
Big part of it. I was very happy with that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I like Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Just like to talk about the propaganda against Belgrade.
Oh, please, come on. We're talking about Lewis right now.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Hi.
Hey, it's Mark Monahan from Sacramento.
Thanks for the bio.
Hey, man. That was awesome. That was incredible. I was dying here. I'm just catching my breath.
Another Lewis fan weighing in on the side.
Nobody better.
Man, what a dope.
Nobody better than
what
Lewis.
A dope.
Nobody better than Lewis.
Yeah. I got the job. I'm going to be a steward.
You're my next star.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, that was great yesterday. That guy's a jackass.
Okay, thank you.
There's more Lewis fans weighing in.
It's unanimous, Mike. Hello?
Yes, Don.
Yes, sir.
You cold-hearted bastard. That kid adores you.
No, not anymore.
He's
adoring,
but he adores you.
I think he still adores you.
I think he still adores you.
Well, listen, if he's at all smart, he'll realize that he just got a half hour of exposure on our show.
Oh, I know. Right. But he worships you. He's annoying as hell.
And that's why the joke works, man. That's why the joke works.
Please.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
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 Hello, you're on the air.
I'm on the air. Is this Don Geronimo?
Yes.
Mr. Geronimo?
Yes.
You know, I'm going to apologize to you for calling. This is Craig Coleman's father.
And oh, please, are we going to go through this again with you?
No, we're not going to go through it again.
Is this really Craig Coleman's father?
No, Don Geronimo. I don't know who the hell you are or what your name is, but let me tell you something. You are a low-down...
Thank you.
Boy, son of a bitch.
Thank you.
Low down, and so is Mike O'Mara, and so is whatever that guy.
Oh, and you're an absentee father. What do you know? Come on, get off my phone.
No, you get off of my phone, you no good bastard.
No, you called me, and this is not even Lewis's father.
Lewis's father.
No, this is not Lewis's father.
This is not Lewis's father.
Oh, hell yes, it is.
Oh, hell no, it's not.
Oh, hell yes, it is.
No. No, you know, you didn't sound this southern the last time we talked to you.
Well, I don't give a damn what I sounded. I know who I am, and
no, I didn't. He does not sound like that. No. I'll tell you that right now.
Lewis's real father did call us one time to scream at us one time.
You know, I'm not going to scream at you, but you guys are just some low-life...
And you are a liar because you are not Lewis's father.
Oh, please. Hold on.
All right, Lewis is back on the line.
There we go.
Hey, Lewis.
That's him.
That was your dad?
That is my dad.
Really, Lewis?
Of course.
You're not going to stick April Fool's or anything like that, are
you? No, I'm not going to be saying that today.
Is that really your father?
That's really my dad.
Well, your father didn't sound as southern the last time he called.
This is really Lewis, too.
Oh, I know this is you. Come on, you called on the inside line.
It didn't really sound like your dad. I thought your dad didn't have that much of a southern accent the last time we talked to him.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Mike. I just want to say that, you know, I did fall for it, hook, line, and sinker, because this is dealing with something that I do hold.
Yeah, okay, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Come on, it was a joke, man. Either you get the joke or you don't get it.
Can I go through some of the stuff that I had prepared to ask him to get more in depth?
Yes, Lewis, what were you going to ask Jeremy?
Okay, go ahead.
Why are you offering me this show? Number one, will it be Monday through Friday, 5 days a week? Will I make a full-time income? Sign a contract? How long to prove myself? Should I still do stuff for Don and Mike? Will I be taken seriously by management and listeners? Will I be helped to develop the show? How much creative control? What's the exact format have to be? Will there be music? What kinds of things in terms of pre-producing the show will be provided by the station? I'm provided bids and promos. Will I get my $100 that you guys owe me? When will the show start? What are the chances of being simulcast to Baltimore in place of Pharrell 2? How good do I have to be Pharrell's ratings? Would I have an office at the station? What would be my daily work requirements to be considered doing a job well done by management? Will my show have any type of budget at all? Will I have sponsors? Can I get more? Will I have access to prizes and gifts for promotional consideration? What will my limits be? What if I...
You know, this makes it even funnier.
Can I be the first to start regularly using swears on air, you know, to sensitize the whole shock value? Do I ever get vacations? And should I have asked anything that I didn't?
All right. Excellent job, Lewis.
Very good job.
Very good, Lewis. You've always got a place on this show, Lewis. Lewis?
Well, I wish I was still hearing that.
Was that really your father?
Yeah, and this is really me. And this is real radio right now.
Yeah. Okay, right. Real radio right now. Real.
Real radio.
Real radio. It did not sound like your dad, because I was hoping it was really your dad.
I was hoping I was really getting a job. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's April Fool's Day, Lewis. And yes, we're radio pranksters, man.
Yeah, I want to be one, too.
I know you do. I understand that, Lewis.
I'll just wait a little longer.
I'm giving you this opportunity on the show, man.
I'm in for the good long fight. I don't want it to be easy anyhow.
Well, Lewis, you should understand what Don said before, the exposure. I mean, this has been, this has been the whole first segment of the show dedicated to you, Lewis.
That's why I prepared for it. In every way. So, on that level, thank you, but I really wish it was the case, and I'm still hoping that you would say, all right, it was, but we're really going to show the listening audience, and it'll be on them in the long run. And then all of a sudden I'll turn up for
Lewis,
a while.
You want to know something?
No.
Absolutely not. Come on, please. And Lewis, just look. This is just more material for your movie.
Yeah, unfortunately it is, but these are going to be the down scenes when I go into the toilet and cry.
Okay, all right. Well, go on in the toilet and cry, and I'll see you the next time you're down here.
No, really. I think that you at least owe me some sort of idea of what I'm going to be doing next. Let me tease me with something.
Oh, what, you mean like your next bit?
Please.
All right, I do have something for you, and this is not an April Fool's joke. It's something that involves IRS Day, Tax Day.
Oh, speaking of which, I need to get my ass together. What's that?
Okay, so, you know, call Rob to see about getting your Uncle Sam suit, because I do have a job for you on April 15th.
Oh, okay.
And that's no April Fool's gag.
All right, well, considering the April Fool's gag, that was some real funny ass, man.
It was. Goodbye, Lewis.
Bye, Lewis.
Goodbye.
Craig Coleman.
Good sports.
Goodbye.
I wish I had left that old man on the line if that was really his father.
Well, no, you know, and you can never get a straight answer out of Lewis, so you don't know whether that was really his dad or not. But his dad has called us before, and has also called us a-holes before.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
first of all, you know, he should be thankful he's on the air with you. Second of all,
I think he is.
I don't even think you guys have that kind of demand list for Jeremy. I mean, it was like Lewis.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
You remember the first time you got your, you know, first real gig in radio, and you hopped up and down and you screamed, and he didn't care if you had to clean the toilet.
It's nice to know that after Lewis has called us, you know, and kind of been a good sport about it, that the hatred still permeates the show.
Still there.
Oh, yeah.
Still there. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, you are my gods.
Right on, man.
I'd like to hold on for the Lewis Show, if possible.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, that was Greg Coleman's father. They did the bit that you all did last week. I mean, the last time you called.
Oh, really? Did
we? They played it to the best of last week.
Oh, we re-ran that? Oh, well.
Yeah, it was definitely him.
Well, he certainly got a chance to say his piece, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he said he did, and it sounded like he meant it, too.
Oh, well, screw him. Please. We're doing more for Lewis than his father ever did for him.
Here, here.
We're like Lewis's father. We're like his adoptive uncles, please. Mm-hmm. We're like Uncle Bill on Family Affair to him.
Part of a team.
You know, maybe Mr. Coleman, if you'd showed him a little more love, you know, he wouldn't be quite the mess he is today. Please, for goodness sake. Hello.
Dynamite.
Yeah, Dynamite Show.
Hey, I want to know, you guys were complaining a couple weeks ago about the traffic. I want to know why you're creating traffic.
Pardon me?
You guys are creating the traffic now, right?
We're creating the traffic. What do you mean? How are we creating the traffic?
Because Lewis is going to be at the bridge in about 5 minutes.
All right. Well, maybe. One more call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I called yesterday and I told you it was April Fool's and you belittled me.
Right. I sure did. I sure did. Goodbye.
I was right, but wasn't I?
Yes, you're absolutely right. But,
sure.
But you understand, I couldn't let it go yesterday. It wouldn't have ruined the show.
Yeah, but I feel mad in there.
Hold on, Lewis is online again.
He's back.
Very good. Okay, what else, Lewis?
Please, go lie to my dad if you don't mind, and please just show me that respect if you wouldn't. Because my dad and my mother are very good parents that were looking to get an end result in a kid because I'm not...
Lewis, I'm only saying stuff about your dad that you've said before on this show.
No.
Yeah.
No, I've never said you were my adopted father, and thank God for you, because my dad made me such a mess.
Oh, please.
All right?
Come on,
so
Lewis.
My dad, I love my parents.
Jesus.
And my brother.
Here's a quarter. Buy a sense of humor, man.
And he's just calling in to defend me, because on the phone, on, you know, both extensions.
Who's done more for you, your father or me?
No, listen to this. Last night, I was talking to them both on different extensions at their house from here, giving me advice back and forth, like it was a real deal. We were taking it seriously. Because I know I want this.
Okay.
They're upset
because
it hurts them like it
would
hurt.
No, please. It's an April Fool's joke, Lewis.
It's an April Fool's joke, Lewis. But still, I can't expect them to understand.
Tell your mom and dad, who's the guy that gave you the break to drink your own urine on stage? It was me! Come on! I'm your daddy.
Maybe you need an absentee son. Is that what's going on?
Lewis?
I'm fine with my dad, but you're doing a lot of
Lewis, I don't think you need to call and defend your dad after he calls and, you know, calls us low-down sons of bitches. And, Lewis, don't make me get out the tape of all the times that you said bad stuff about your father on this show.
Go ahead and get it out, because I'd be interested to hear something that I never did.
Get out the tape, Rob. Lewis, do you want this to disintegrate into an argument now?
No, I just want to make sure that you treat my dad with respect.
Lewis, I don't treat anybody with respect.
Lewis, hold on a second. Lewis, how are we supposed to treat your dad with respect when he calls us and he's saying we're low-down sons of bitches and he's immediately starting with a frontal attack?
Well,
how can we give somebody how do we give somebody respect when they talk to us like that?
Because
how does that work?
You've got to understand that he's not understanding the joke. He's not getting it because he's taking
Well, you know, unfortunately, we can't give respect to people that don't get the joke. That's not the way this show works.
Please, Lewis, come on. I mean, go straighten your dad out yourself. I mean, really, that's your job. It would be a moot point if your father hadn't called us up on his own.
He's my dad, so that's that. Okay?
Okay, well, maybe your dad can put you on his radio show.
Why would you like to blackmail me against my father?
I'm not blackmailing you against your father.
Well, it's like if I don't come around to your way of thinking,
Jesus,
like
twit.
That, I'm off the show.
Lewis, what I don't understand is that really
said you're off the show, you twit.
I know, but you make it think like I'm edging closer and closer to the possibility of extension.
All right, Lewis,
want
the bottom line truth? Really? I have a borderline dislike for you. I really probably would hate it if you were my son. Okay? You're highly dysfunctional. I really would never want to be your father.
I'm really dysfunctional.
Yes. And listen, you can't have it both ways. On one hand, I kid and I say, I want to be your father, you get upset. So now I'm telling you the truth.
There's no way I want to be aligned with you in any way in my personal life.
Well,
anyway.
It's a good thing my dad does. So that's
good,
what,
right?
That's what I'm,
good for you. What a sense of humor.
That's fine. And you want us to give your father respect, but he calls us.
He's not going to call you. He's not doing it to get on the air and be heard. He just wants you to know.
Oh, that's why he called on a request line and why he identified himself to Christine
and why he wanted to speak to us on the radio.
Well, that's the only way he can get in touch with you to let you know how he feels.
I don't buy that for a minute.
Lewis, listen. You're way too uptight, man.
No, I'm just defending my dad.
You don't have to defend your dad.
I may have pulled it off without a hitch just for you guys.
Please, I don't know your dad from Adam. Nobody knows your dad from Adam.
Donald is his name. Donald Gene Coleman.
Well, Louis, your parents, though.
Yeah.
You want to honor... That's your payback for the April Fool's joke. Feel free, Louis. Go ahead.
Honor your parents.
Honor your parents right now as much as you want.
Donald Gene Coleman.
Kathy Sue Feldbush Coleman.
Kevin Douglas Coleman. Craig Matthew Coleman.
Is that the whole family?
That's the nuclear one.
The nuclear family, yes.
So, all right. That's my proof that I love them and I need them in my life, and I'm glad they're there.
Lewis, why do you feel the need to say it on the radio? Why don't you just call them up, or even better, just go see them and tell them that?
Because they know it. And I saw them last week.
Well, then why are you wasting my time with this?
Because you guys don't know it like that. So I'm just
Lewis, can I just tell you something very briefly? Really? Frankly, I think I speak for Mike and everybody on the show. Really? We don't care.
Really?
Really. I mean, you're a nice enough young man.
Yeah, I know.
You do our jobs on the show. You do your skits.
And I'm dysfunctional.
Lewis, let me tell you something. And I think you have to make this distinction. This is very, very important. Listen to what I'm going to tell you right now, okay?
Attentively.
This is our little stage here, okay?
Yep, I know it is. All right. You know what? I'm going to get my own little stage someday.
Now, hold on. You're not listening, Lewis. You got to separate the two, buddy. You got to separate the two. If you're so concerned... If you're... Did he hang up?
Yeah.
Lewis, I think so. Lewis Craig Coleman.
There you go. Wow.
Always interesting, man.
This is the Dolphin.
You've heard us talk about this since, I think, Buzz had it on the news. Was it on Monday you had it on the news, Buzz?
I believe so, yeah. But Don Hewitt, the producer, and Mike Wallace, the old reporter, had called Barbara Walters and talked dirty to her. Because she claimed she didn't know what phone sex was.
Yeah, she said that in the Monica interview, right?
Just kind of curious what was said.
So it's not a kooky, crazy call. I mean, we're really going to call 60 Minutes.
Did they really, you know, find out? Did they really make the call? What did they say and all that?
Hello?
60 Minutes.
Yes, hello, Don Hewitt, please.
Yes, who's calling?
Yes, this is the Don and Mike radio show. We're a CBS-owned show.
Please help.
Thank you.
And your name?
Don and Mike.
That's why it's called the Don and Mike show.
Give me a minute.
She sounds like an old bag, too, didn't she?
No spring chicken.
Probably been there, you know, since our... Probably, you know, there's probably that smell. You know, all around that whole floor.
They're all very old. So the youngest guy is that Steve Croft guy.
Yeah.
Right? And they all piss on him all the time.
Is he the youngest?
I think he's definitely younger than Stahl, buddy.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It's Ed Bradley.
He's up there.
Mike Wallace. Morley Safer. Someone get him his coffin.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Rudy.
He's 80.
Hello?
No,
I had our mics in audition, so she couldn't have heard. Yes, hello.
Please help.
Thank you.
Good.
I was afraid someone was listening.
Yeah, like he's going to pick up the phone now. Hello, Don Hewitt. Although that one time we did call CBS, we got right through to the president, that guy Les Moonves.
Les Moonves, we did.
Before CBS returned to prominence. Hello. I got some bad phone systems at 60 Minutes, don't they?
You do? What's the deal? The phones are old.
I bet they're rotary dial.
Hello?
The line is still busy. Please hold.
Thank you.
They've got that switchboard, you know, where they plug it in, Sarah.
Oh, like Andy and Mayberry?
Back in Edward R. Moreau's day, you know. This is London. Plug it in there.
And when they make calls, they don't use numbers. Like, they go, hello, Sarah, this is Ed. Ed Bradley. Get me Klondike 8. 4827.
Klondike.
That's the one.
This is Klondike BR549. Come on, Sarah.
And don't forget Andy Rooney's big comment when we saw him at the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. When we sent Rob over to see if he would talk to us for a minute on the show. He put his talent up in the air, his old man hand, and he went,
Too many.
Too many, referring to the hordes of radio programs that were on that one floor. Too
Hello?
Many. Hello.
Hello. Okay, here we go. I'll turn for you now.
Thanks muchly.
Yes, that is fine. Listen to that clicking sound.
CBS.
I was awakened by a clicking sound.
Yeah, this is not you. Hello.
Hello. Phones up.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, please.
Hello. This is the worst. This is the television network.
Hello, 1 hour. Hey, hello, 1/24th of a day.
I want to, or if you're really stupid, say, I want to talk to the stopwatch show.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Don Hewitt, please.
Yes.
Is this Don Hewitt?
Hi, it's Don and Mike, and we're on the air right now. How are you, sir?
I don't know who you are, and I'm fine, and thank you very much. You call me sometime.
It's just the Don and Mike. He seemed nice.
Good guy. Old bastard. What was the point of that?
The point was, he said, I'm really busy and I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Welcome home.
Guess he doesn't have a secretary.
Who was the other one that was mentioned in that story? Is it Mike Wallace,
yes,
buddy?
Mike Wallace, right. Yes. He might actually talk.
It was really Don Hewitt.
It's pretty funny.
Yes, hello, it's Don and Mike again. Thank you for your assistance at our last call here on the CBS Radio Network. Mike Wallace, please.
Mike Wallace, Mr. Wallace is unavailable. Do you
mind holding? Sure. You know, it might be better to ask one of the other reporters, like Ed Bradley or Steve Croft, because maybe
I would feel more comfortable going to Steve Croft, because he's the closest to being a peer of ours.
Mm-hmm.
He's the youngest.
Yeah.
I mean, relatively speaking, he's the youngest.
We're practically brothers.
Well, all these other guys are like our grandpas, our great-grandpas.
Yeah, hello, Don.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
What is it you want?
It's the Don and Mike radio show. We want to
know what a Don and Mike radio show is. What is a Don and Mike radio show?
It's a radio show that's owned by CBS. It's on the Westwood One Network.
Yeah,
we're on 65 stations.
Okay.
We're doing our little radio show right now. We were curious about something.
What is it you're curious about?
Mr. Hewitt, we heard a story in the New York press that you guys called Barbara Walters to give her phone sex. And we were curious if there was any validity.
Barbara is an old, very old friend of mine and Mike's, and we called up Barbara and said, we don't believe that you really don't know what that is. Okay?
And we shared that disbelief with you. We were amazed that you didn't know
what it was. Surprised because Barbara's an old friend of both of us.
And we were curious that during the course of the conversation if there was actually any example.
There never was an example.
There never was. Okay,
no.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Don
thank
Hewitt, you're a stand-up guy for taking our call.
Thank you. See you.
Bye-bye. He's an old curmudgeon.
Right.
Hey,
but I'm just giving a round of applause
you
for God's sake. What do you want now?
Here's how that went. He hung up. He said, what's that?
Hold on a second. Who's calling? What do they want?
I love that. But you know something? When you identified it as CBS, he knew he's a company guy.
Right. You should have dropped Mel's name there.
Not to attention.
Only worked for Mel, the guy that made you do 60 Minutes, too. Remember that? That show you didn't want to do, Don Hewitt, buddy?
Right, and then you went into his office. Oh, boy.
CBS, everybody. You've been touched by CBS.
Just talking to one of our network compadres. Don Hewitt, 70-million-year-old Don Hewitt.
Yeah, I never heard of this show.
It's his old friend.
What do you want?
All right, well, he answered the question.
There you go, 60 Minutes.
They did call her, but they didn't actually, like, get her off on the phone or anything.
He says.
Thank you, Don Hewitt. Yeah, thank you, Buzz. So he says. We'll be right back.
Regis comes out, says to Kathy C. Oh, I'm very upset. I'm very mad at David Letterman.
Right.
He says that he was going to do one of his little cameo bits on the Letterman show.
Yeah, which he does quite a bit of.
Right. He's a big whore. He goes on Leno. He goes on Conan O'Brien. He goes on all those shows.
All the time.
He's like the modern-day Tony Randall.
Yeah, he likes to be the little novelty guest.
Right, so Regis says that he goes on Letterman show, and I thought this was pretty bold of Regis to say, because generally, he's got his nose stuck way up Letterman's behind.
Mm-hmm.
He says that he was going to go on the show, and that he was walking in the hallway before the show, and that he was on his way to go to the makeup room, and that apparently he passed Letterman in the hallway.
Right.
He didn't see Letterman, and he was sitting there getting the pancake makeup put on his face, and the makeup lady says to him, hey, Dave is pissed at you because you didn't say hello to him in the hallway.
Right.
And he just says, well, I didn't see him. So now he's crouching on the sidelines, waiting to come out, do whatever, like run through the crowd and throw confetti or whatever.
Do his little stick bit.
Yeah, whatever stupid bit it is that Letterman wants him to do. And he says that Letterman is standing behind his desk in the shadows right before they go on.
Right.
And he waves at Letterman, and Letterman gives him the finger. So that he's still not sure if Letterman is mad at him or not.
Right.
So he goes over to him after he does the bit, and Dave says, like, hey, I'm mad at you because you didn't say hello to me in the hallway.
You snubbed me.
Right. So Regis says he doesn't think anything of it. He goes home last night. He's watching the Letterman show, and Letterman's got Charles Grodin on.
Right.
That Regis was talking to Charles Grodin and told him what happened, so Charles Grodin brings the whole thing up to Letterman again, and Letterman gets all pissed all over again and starts calling Regis' name. Because Regis is in love with David Letterman.
That's right.
He's very upset by this, mm-hmm. and then he asks his audience to fax in names that he could call Letterman back.
Oh, fantastic. Right. Oh, that's great. That's a typical Regis bit.
All right, so I gave you the setup there.
I lie. Yeah, I want the people, the fans, to send me letters, you know, faxes on that machine, the machine that prints out the thing.
The fax machine,
God,
Regis?
Yeah, hot. How are you?
Here are the numbers we have at the Letterman Show. The main number, the show number, like for tickets. And we were just given today, before the show, a backstage number.
Ah, backstage, fantastic.
So we're going to call as the Don and Mike Show.
Right.
And Regis Philbin is our special guest.
How are you?
Okay.
Regis, I must recognize you. You're backstage Bonnie, right? How are you?
We'll have some kind of a message for Dave.
What time does he tape that show at, Buzz?
5 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh, so he's just about to tape the show.
Great.
Beautiful. Hello, is this the Letterman Show?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is the Don and Mike Radio Show. We're doing our radio show right now. We have in studio with us Mr. Regis Philbin, who would like to speak to Dave. Regis, go ahead.
Hi, how are you? I have a message from my fans. They were sending me letters, you know, faxes on what mean thing I could say to David. How are you? Is this Sam, the backstage boy? Hello there. How are you?
You know,
hey, what's wrong with people?
It's not him, it's the phone.
Heffers.
Your phone's just...